Welcome back to Interactive Wrestling Radio. Joining us on the Newsmaker line right now is a young lady who's been very active of late, appearing at both NWA Empower and the Impact Wrestling Knockouts Knockdown Special. Of course, I'm speaking of Jamie Senegal. Are you with me, ma'am?
Hello.
Such a pleasure to have you on the show. Gosh, what a whirlwind the last couple weeks have been for you, huh?
Yeah, it's been crazy. There's been some super high ups, some super low downs, but I'm on cloud nine right now. So,
Awesome. Well, that's the good place to be. So let's start with the bog standard question we start out most of our interviews with, and that is, what attracted you to this wild world of professional wrestling in the first place?
I will say that was women's wrestling, 110%. My stepsister Brooke was super into wrestling, and I really wasn't. And then one day, the first match I ever saw was Trish Stratus versus Lita in the main event of Monday Night Raw.
Right, that was a big one. I remember. Nobody remembers this, but Lita took a sick bump on her neck in that match too.
Everybody. Scorpions.
Yeah, that was a crazy bump, and nobody talks about it, nobody remembers it, but that was crazy. That I remember thinking, oh gosh, she just hurt herself again, but nope, yeah. She was fine.
It's so crazy to me that, like, I saw that, literally saw that happen, and then was like, I can do this.
That's the match that, oh wow, that's awesome. Well, of course, the elephant in the room, if you will, let's tackle this, you know, from the get-go, is, and you mentioned it in other interviews, so I think I'm comfortable enough to ask you, is you mentioned your LGBTQ standing and where you are with that. Is it more difficult for you to get involved in professional wrestling being LGBTQ?
It definitely was in the beginning. Now I feel like it's not at all, because I feel like I've definitely fought alongside some great peers to help change the aspect on queer wrestling and queer people being in wrestling. So definitely in the beginning, there was a major struggle there with that. But as time grew and as people saw that I was working hard, I think that people started to be less scared of it and just allow it to happen.
Absolutely. And when you turn on AEW, you can see people like Nyla Rose in there. Is that just a great sign for where we're heading as a society, then, that people are open to that?
Oh, I hope so, because I think it's the coolest thing ever. And knowing that now we have Nyla, Sunny Kiss, and then people like Mercedes Martinez, and I got to do NWA and Impact. So I'm really hoping that, honestly, not even just for us being able to succeed, but for the next generation coming up, I just really hope, and the people at home who feel like because they are who they are, they can't do stuff, I really hope it inspires them to fight for what they have to in the world. And it's a lot more rewarding too, when you have something so hard pushing against you to get what you want. So
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And something that really interested me during the Knockouts pay-per-view, we will talk about NWA Empower, but I interviewed Daphne back in 2006, and it was a big thing for me because it was the first interview that my wife had put together for me. She had stopped doing these kind of interviews because she did a pretty bad one with a show that I won't mention, but it was not very good. They were kind of jerks, and she had stopped doing them. My wife was able to convince her that I'm not a bad guy, and she did it with me, and it's really something that I'm very proud of to have in the catalog down the line that I spoke to Daphne, but she meant a lot to you as well. During the Knockouts intro, you said that she was like your wrestling mother. How did you guys come to be friends, and how did she get that standing?
Oh, man. She, to be honest, like, to say wrestling mother, even so, kind of, even though it is what it is, and a lot of people, I kind of have to make that clear, it kind of still feels like I'm selling my friendship with her short a little bit when I say that, because, to be honest, she was like a real mother to me. But
wow.
When I worked a show in 2017 in December for Atomic Championship Wrestling and Rogue Women's Warrior, and she was running a seminar, and I was running late, and I got there right in the middle of it, and I was like, oh, she's teaching, I can't go up to her. And then when she was done, I was going to go up to her, and I got really nervous because I'm like, oh my gosh, here she is, the queen, like literally one of my all-time favorites. And she came right up to me, and she was like, hey, do you have any jewelry I can wear, and do I look okay? And it pretty much just cemented a friendship that would never end. Like, a lot of people know I love to video chat and talk on Facebook and stuff and just keep up with people. And she immediately loved it. And we just video chatted all the time until it turned out that we would see each other on the regular and always talk. So
very cool. And it did not escape my notice that in your introduction, in your when you went into the ring at Knockouts Knockdown, you did her famed pose. And that did not escape. But neither did the tights you wore, which I believe was called out by one of the announcers. Well, those Daphne-inspired, the ice cream tights, as they called them.
Yeah, I did wear the ice cream tights. It was, honestly, they turned out so amazing. I was so happy about it because I was still figuring out what I was going to wear when the tragedy had happened. And then we decided, my seamstress, who is absolutely lovely, she's so amazing at her job. We decided on the ice cream gear about 4 or 5 days before the pay-per-view, and I got it shipped in to the pay-per-view that morning. So I thought she did absolutely incredible, and I thought it did Daph so much justice. And I think if she was here physically, it would have brought tears to her eyes, and she would have loved it.
That's beautiful. It was great. And that's partially the reason I wanted to interview you, just because I thought you, of all the Knockouts, really came off as somebody who had that real connection with her. And that was just special. So I'm glad you got the opportunity to be part of that Knockouts Knockdown. Do you think there'll be any future opportunities for you in Impact Wrestling?
I sure hope so, because I still have to win the Knockouts Championship for Daph and I.
Very good. And Mickie James, during your introduction, said that you're one of her favorite people on the planet. Of course, she brought you into NWA Empower. What was it like to get the call from Mickie James to appear for that special event?
I just got goosebumps when you said it. It just took me straight back. That was the craziest time, because right before Mickie and I had came into contact, my grandmother had passed away. So I was pretty sad. And I feel like, and I told this to Mickie too, I really felt like her reaching out to me was a blessing from my Grammy. So I was just so happy. And it kind of felt full circle too, because for a long time, like as a young talent, just working hard, I was really frustrated and couldn't understand why things wouldn't happen for me. And then to have an opportunity of this level with someone like Mickie James, with everyone knowing how much I love women's wrestling, that was the most full circle thing that could ever happen for me. And then to especially have Daph be such a big part of Mickie James noticing me, and then to have it be announced on Daph's episode of Gaw with Mickie, SoCal, and Lisa, it was the coolest thing ever. So I really feel like everything that's happened in the last couple months is 110% because of Mickie James and because of Daph. So it's just the craziest feeling ever.
That's beautiful. And the NWA Empower pay-per-view seemed to be a hit for everyone. The talent, the fans, and even the pundits. Nobody really had a bad word to say about it. What was the experience like wrestling at the Chase for NWA Empower?
Man, the Chase was the coolest place. I really wasn't sure what to expect, like going in there when I was just arrived, because I looked at it and I was like, wow, this place is breathtaking. It's huge. It feels larger than life. And just walking in, and the ceiling, all of the lights above the ceiling looked like constellations. And I went up to Billy Corgan and I was like, it's literally like wrestling under the stars when you look up. And we were just talking about that for a second. It was the coolest thing ever. And all the girls were on the same page. And it was just, it's funny, because if you can ask every girl on that show, the most remarkable thing for all of us was that everyone had a bigger idea. We knew the bigger picture here, and everyone worked together. Like backstage was like something out of a movie. The girls, we were all doing each other's makeup, we were all doing each other's hair, helping out the makeup and hair ladies too. It was like one big family and the coolest thing ever. So it was absolutely amazing, and it's a memory I truly love to cherish.
Absolutely. And right now we're in such a weird time in wrestling where everybody is cooking on gas. You got AEW really capturing a lot of people's attention. WWE is always going to be WWE. Impact Wrestling is starting to really catch on once again. What is your thoughts on where professional wrestling as a whole is right now as we head into 2022 and beyond the pandemic?
To be honest, I think that pro wrestling is going into a great direction, and I'm really hoping that we can just keep pulling. I feel like we're starting to pull from pop culture, and again, and I think it's really cool. I think if we keep doing that, we're just going to thrive and be the best that we've ever been, and I'm so excited for it. I think it's just a matter of staying on top of it now while we all are.
Beautiful. And how much do you think that has to do with the Forbidden Door and how all these companies are working together?
I think it has a lot to do with it, because I think the Forbidden Door is something that everyone was so thirsty for so many years, because I feel we got a taste of it with the Attitude Era and stuff like that. And I really think that everybody just wanted that to come back. And I think now that it's happening, it is this unfathomable competition now for fans to be like, well, which promotion's my favorite? Oh, these people are getting to face each other often. It adds like a team aspect again, and it makes people love promotions the same way they love football teams. So I think it's really cool.
Awesome, awesome. I interview a lot of the girls from the independent scene, and some say, well, their goal is AEW or their goal is WWE. What's your ultimate goal? Where do you want to see yourself wrestling?
Honestly, I'm shooting for the stars. I want to wrestle everywhere. But I really, really, really would love to be Knockouts champion. That's what I want right now. That's always been a huge goal for me.
So that's your goal, is Impact Wrestling Knockouts title?
Yeah, I would love that. That would be the most full circle thing for me on the entire planet.
Beautiful. And it really was the Knockouts, if you really think about it. Even Daphne was a big part of it too, but a lot of Gail Kim and Awesome Kong really were the ones who started a lot of this latest version of the women's revolution. I think anyway. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that I think that there was already women killing it on the indies, and then those women got picked up and put onto TNA. And I think that it was so refreshing to see that, and then to really give those girls the spotlight they deserve. And it's kind of crazy, because I feel like the same thing is starting to happen with queer wrestling too. So I think that we're kind of having our own little women's wrestling moment the same way the Knockouts did. I think that the generation of queer people that are getting the spotlight on the indies and spotlight on TV are kind of becoming the breakout, like the OG Knockouts.
Very cool. Very cool. I've noticed that you use the word queer. I'd be scared as a heterosexual guy to use the word queer. What does the word queer mean to you? Like, how does that translate versus what I use, which was LGBTQ?
I think it's kind of the same thing. To me, like, queer is just everybody. And sometimes I think that it's just quicker to say. So I just say queer because it's easier physically to say.
Yeah, less alphabet soupy.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, final question for you is, where do you see the future of professional wrestling, especially women's wrestling, in the next few years?
I think it's so crazy to even think of where women's wrestling specifically could go, because I feel like women's wrestling has already skyrocketed so much. But I really think that we're going to see the big main events and big storylines and big build-ups the same way that we have in the past, but just with higher stakes. And I think that it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And I'm really hoping too that people can just keep breaking out into mainstream. And I would love to see mainstream come in. So if we can find ways to bring like the J-Wows back, or to keep how Sasha had broken off into Disney, to keep doing things like that in professional wrestling, I think that we are set. And I think that right now we just need to figure out how to get the mainstream world to watch pro wrestling. And I think as long as we're still figuring that out and get there, that's exactly where we're going to go, is become ultra mainstream.
Absolutely. Well, once again, you are the one that kind of jumped out at me from Empower and from the Knockouts Knockdown. It was such a pleasure to send you a few emails and get the opportunity to do this with you. And I wish you literally nothing but the best as time goes on.
Thank you so much. It was really fun, and I'm honestly honored to do the this interview, especially considering that Gas is such an important one to you too. So I'm really grateful.
Absolutely, she was. And before I let you go, do you mind if I ask for one last favor from you?
Yeah.
You probably know what I'm going to ask, but do you mind if I ask for a station ID, just saying this is Jamie Senegal, and you're listening to Wrestling Epicenter?
Yeah. Okay, just tell me when to go.
All right, I'll do the whole Wayne's World countdown thing here. We'll do 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, all you stars and studs? It's the punk rock queen, Jamie Senegal, here, and you're listening to Wrestling Epicenter.
First take, you nailed it. I love it. Thank you so much for doing that for me.
Thank you. That was my inner Disney child coming out. I was waving the wand.
Perfect. I'll send you an email when I get this online. And again, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
You take care. Have a great day.
You too.